I just have 30 seconds to share with you what I've shared before when Shoaib has been among us. He is as Barnabas to me, son of encouragement. It seems to me that Shoaib shows up at our office just at a pivotal time when we need encouragement, okay, when I need encouragement, and he is always encouraging. And so I appreciate his ministry among us, his ministry to me, and I look forward to what the Lord would say through Shoaib. Shoaib, come.
Okay, good morning again. I didn't introduce you myself fully, that I am Dean's son-in-law. And I really admire my mother-in-law because it looks like she is the most faithful person in Dean's family to this church. She always comes, and it is encouraging. It is very good. Thank you. And the sermon that I titled today is, Why Do People Come to Church? I would like those of you who come to church for last, or attended the church in any way for last 50 years or more, look, could you raise up your hands? Last 50 years or more. Okay. Thank you. Let's give them an applause, because thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your service. And I would like those who come to church for last 10 years. Could you raise up your hands? 10 years? Okay. Yeah, thank you. And the rest of us all, let's give a hands of praise to the Lord. That thank you for all of us. Those last 10 years, or 50 or more, and also those from 10 to 50, that it is a God who, through his love, that brought us to church and bring us every week. In English, we say church. In Europe, they say kirk, which is close to the English word. The original Greek word is ekklesia. I love the Persian and Arabic word for the church, which is kalisa. It is closer to the original Greek word, ekklesia. In 1990, I was visiting Moscow, and I went to see one of the biggest Russian Orthodox churches in Moscow. It was a beautiful building. I think there was a blessing ceremony going on there. And people were in line to kiss the priest's hand. And then, in return, priest will sprinkle some water on them and bless them. And I wanted a blessing. I stood in that line. When my turn came, I refused to kiss a priest's hand. I was a Muslim. And the priest decided not to bless me. This was my first experience with the church 23 years ago. It was not much different than the mosque that occasionally I was attending in Afghanistan. It is really interesting. How do you think church building should be a perfect place for Christians? A couple of years ago, I was part of an outreach ministry in downtown Winnipeg on Saturday morning. We go Saturday morning in downtown in the hospitals, health science center, and we just say to people, Jesus loves you, and this is I am, and if you need a prayer or something. You know, if you ask 5 people, 4 of them, they claim to be Christians. It's an average. And 3 will say that they do not have a church. 3 out of 4. And you ask them, why you do not have a church? The common answer would be that they were hurt by people in the church. This is the common answer, or by leadership. Have you ever been hurt in the church? Somebody said an unkind word to you. Somebody was not patient. Somebody left you alone. Or somebody did not care about you while you were sick at home. Or you did not like the music, or even the leadership, or the pastor. Most of the people experience some kind of a hurt in the church. Some quit coming to church. Some change the church in order to find a better one. Some is still like us, coming each week back to church. Why is that? I think quitting and changing the church do not solve the problem, because hurt and joy is part of any church around the world. There is no perfect church in the world, One of my friends says the church was perfect until we entered. In the last 14 years of my faith in the Lord Jesus, I was speaking or sat down as an observer in different churches around the world, like Pakistan, where we first believed in Jesus, in Afghanistan, when I visited in 2009, India, where I visit Afghan believers and Afghan churches every second year, the Netherlands, Germany, England, Cyprus, some cities in the U.S., and Texas. You know, I put Texas separate from U.S. because they are different. And major cities in Canada, Vancouver, Calgary, Regina, Toronto, Kitchener, Mississauga, and of course some churches in Winnipeg. In our home church, I have been involved in many ministries like prayer ministry, Sunday school, security, usher, Alpha, New Immigrant Help Network, small group ministry, Beyond the Wall Outreach. Recently, I'm involved with ethnic ministries and preaching group and also Christian Service Brigade. When I shared earlier and I came back there, Benjamin was a little sad. He said, "You didn't mention my name." Yes, Benjamin, I'm involved with Benjamin and the Christian Brigade service in Calvary Temple, and I love it, and we all play and learn God's word. I think there has to be something more about the church, that we all keep coming and spend our precious time and energy there. I would like to share with you the worldview of a common person living in the West about the church. Common person. It can be Christian or non-Christian. A building. Church is a building. Church is an institution, a sacred or holy place to get a blessing, a place where always ask for money, a place where you do not have to attend regularly, once or twice in a year for Christmas or Easter is enough, a place where perfect people who think that they are better than others, a hospital where spiritually and physically sick people can come for healing, a place where hypocrites get together, a place for all people, Christian, Hindus, Muslims, and atheists, or non-religion. Recently, in London, England, people started a church for atheists. Atheists started the church for themselves. I do not know what is your specific worldview about the church. The Oxford English Dictionary defines the word church like this. Noun, a building used for public Christian worship. Church, a particular Christian organization with its own clergy, buildings, and distinctive doctrines, and institutionalized religion has a political or social force. But church has a verb, is giving only one definition, to take. The problem is that many people look at the word church or understand the word church as a noun and get confused. Let's see what the Bible says about the foundation of the biblical church. Matthew 16, 15 to 19. He said to them, it's Jesus, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." You see, some of our Catholic brothers and sisters, they take this passage literally. They think that Jesus meant here that he will build his church on Peter the Apostle. But the difference is that the Peter, it's in the meaning of the Greek is a stone. While here the Jesus one says, upon this rock is Petra. Petra, it's a bigger one. He means on the confession of your faith, on the confession that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is a very important to distinguish. The foundation of a biblical church is not a building, is not a priest or leadership, is not the denomination either. Four biblical truths about the foundation of a biblical church are, number one, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the center and cornerstone of every biblical church. Second, Jesus the builder and head of every biblical church. Third, Jesus has given the key of the kingdom to the church. Four, Jesus wants the church to prepare people for the kingdom. Jesus and church during the history always have been together. Many rulers and politicians and kings wanted to separate church from Jesus or vice versa, but could not because Jesus and church are bound on earth and in heaven. Church is the only visible sign of kingdom in this world. Let's see how Bible defines the verb church according to the book of Acts. We all know that church started after Pentecost when the believers got together, prayed, and then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then Peter, the same Peter that Jesus was referring, he confessed Jesus as the Son of God, the Son of the living God. Then on that day, 3,000 or more believed in Jesus. This is where church started. Let's see what is in Acts 2. What is the verb church means? Verses 42 to 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and fellowship. It is interesting that here in this passage, you see only verbs. You see only verbs. There is not nouns here about the church. Verbs. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the profound definition of the verb church. According to the book of Acts, we see that the real meaning of church is a verb church, not a noun church. Practice church, do church. Verse 42 says, apostles teaching. We thank God that Bethesda Church, in Bethesda Church, the gospel of Jesus is preached in this church and all its ministries. The gospel has its own power. Verse 46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Fellowship meeting together. Ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There are many fellowship in Bethesda Church. Awana, where our girls are involved. Sunday school for youth and children. And there are many unseen and not heard fellowships in the small groups and families of Bethesda Church. Prayer. To the breaking of the bread and to prayer. There are formal and individual prayer ministry in this church. Signs and wonders. Verse 43. And the result of doing church in this church, signs and wonder happened. You might see, what is the signs of wonder happened? The biggest miracle in the life of each person, all of us, is miracle of salvation. We see we have more people. Economic distribution, verses 44 and 5 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. And these days, being physically together all the time, impossible. But the principle for this verse, having everything in common, did not change. We all have common belief to help the poor, to help the widows and orphans, to help immigrants, to work for justice and to give where is needed. But this church is helping many missionaries around the world, including us, because you believe in doing the church. Worship. Verse 47. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Do you realize that lately God added more people in Bethesda Church? You see new young families, individuals, and get saved by the power of the Holy Spirit? I think the best analogy for a biblical church would be living in the family, loving, caring, serving, and even hurting is part of the normal family life. In the family, if somebody hurts you, we do not say, he is not my brother or she is not my sister. Or I leave my family and find another one because I was hurt. We might complain, but do not stop loving, caring, and serving. The same formula applies to the church. And new people keep coming. As we will believe in the doing church. We believe in the verb church, do church, be church, go church, build church, love church. When David said in Psalms 122:1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I think this is a very, very deep verse, deep meaning in there. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David did not mean to go to a building, although there was a temple. David did not mean to kiss the priest's hand, although he wanted to show his respect to the priest. David did not mean that he won't be hurt, although he knew that God will reveal his sins and forgive them. Why people do church? I give you 5 reasons for this million-dollar question, why we are all coming back to church, or for the mystery of people coming to church or doing the church. Number 1, God the Father is the one who reveals to us by his Holy Spirit, his Son, Lord Jesus, and put the willingness and desire in us with joy to do the church, whatever we are inside or outside the church. It's interesting that here, as we heard on the Acts, that it says, sincere heart or joy. I was working, as I was mentioned, in Concordia Hospital, and I was dealing with reports, accounting with the managers. And one manager, she was always angry. You couldn't see joy in her face. Always angry, always frustrated. And I didn't know what to do. And then finally I realized that she is a very fine follower of Jesus Christ. And she goes to church regularly. And I was thinking, is it what Jesus wants us? What Jesus wants us to do the church, what? With gladness, with joy. It is not. When I was Muslim to the mosque, I didn't know, or like my brother-in-law forced my nephew to go to the mosque or do prayer with his all. He was crying. This is not the way that Jesus wants us to go to church. Jesus wants us to go to church with joy and gladness and smile in our hearts, in our also appearance. Second, we acknowledge Jesus as the Son of the living God, and when we get together, Jesus is in the midst of us. We want Jesus to be the Lord of our life, our mind, our soul, and our family, and our church. You see, this Jesus that we are talking and all the Bible is based on, this is the one who want to be the Lord of our life. Sometimes we think, okay, I give 5% of 95% of my life to Jesus, then I keep 5% in my bedroom or my living room. But Jesus either wants 100% or nothing. This is the way that we understood it. This is the way that God's word explained it to us. Either he is 100% of our Lord or he is nothing. Third, we can gather to do church in a specific time and place and in all time, in all places. It would be funny if I tell you that I do the church with my kids when I take them to school. Do you believe in that? We pray, yes. When I'm driving, it's dangerous, but I do. Yeah, we pray every morning. When I take them to the school, we pray. And they listen, and we share, we love, we cry. Sometimes we argue, sometimes we do the things, but this is what we are doing, the church. Fourth, when believers gather, it means there are signs and wonders. The biggest miracle and wonder is the salvation of an individual. You are witnesses to people who were baptized in Bethesda Church during the years. Praise the Lord. Also, other signs and wonders are grace, love, forgiveness, mercy, truth, kindness, patience, and hurt. You see, this again, hurt comes. Hurt also is part of the signs. Hurt is part of life package in this earth. As long as we live, we always be loved and hurt in the same time. Heaven is the only place where you do not experience hurt. Fifth, the promise of Jesus for church. I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Doing church in the spiritual realms during the last 2,000 years always has been offensive and never been defensive. Because by doing the church, we come from victory to next victory. We bring Jesus' victory to these apartment buildings. We bring Jesus' victory to our home. We bring Jesus' victory to our workplace, to the hospital, to the where we work. We bring Jesus' victory where we pray. We bring Jesus' victory to the places that our children are involved. This is from one victory to other victory. Yes. And it's interesting that bringing on this victory to all people, all generations, all backgrounds. You see, surrounding this church, there are a lot of immigrants, there are a lot of local people that they do not have a church. And this is, I think, but this the church can play a very key role to bring those. Through Jesus, each one of us has the key to the kingdom of God, to invite and disciple all people to advance the kingdom further all the time and everywhere till Jesus comes. Me and my wife, we do church by TV program. Yeah, by TV program. People from Afghanistan who never heard the gospel of Jesus, they call us. And I do the church by Skype. I do the church by talking with them. I do the church by visiting them where they are. I do the church with immigrants in the city by helping them. Doing the church is not only coming, but it's far more as we read from the Word of God. Yes, I do the church by email. Young man, Zubaid, weeks ago, he asked me by email, he says, what is the role of women in Christianity? We see a lot of bad things. You see, I need the church. I have to go back to the Word of God and tell them, what is the role of women in Christianity? Or why all Christians, they're kind of in the West, they think, the Eastern world, they think that all Western people, they're Christians. They think Madonna has Christians. They think Michael Jackson has Christians. All this together, they mixed up. And they're always confused. And here is, we have to kind of bring the Word of God to them to tell them what the church is. This is, I believe that I'm doing the church. And I'm sure that each one of you doing the church in different ways. But the question is, do you realize that you are doing the church? And doing it this only for God. As I said, biblical church is the only visible sign of God's kingdom in this world. If we want it to be part of God's kingdom, after believing in Jesus, we have to be involved in a local church. In one of my trips to Europe, I was in the Frankfurt airport waiting for my next flight. And there is a young Dutch, Dutch man. He was standing and we started talking with each other. And he asked me, what do you do? I said, I share the God's word. And he said, do you preach Islam? I said, no, I preach the Bible. He said, okay. I asked him, are you a Christian? He said, I'm a Christian, yes. And I knew that many Christians in Europe, they don't go to church. And I asked him, do you go to church? And you know what his answer was? No. And I said, how come you say that you're a Christian, you don't go to church? It's surprised what his answer was. He said that only hypocrites go to church. This was his understanding about the church. And I said, come on. Do you think that there is no hypocrites outside the church? He said, yes, there are. Then I said, what is the difference? If you're a hypocrite, doesn't mean you're inside or outside. They're all the same. I believe those Christians who do not attend the local church are more hypocrites than others. Because Jesus commanded us. You see, Jesus commanded us to fellowship, worship God with others. We are commanded to share the suffering and love of Jesus with others in the local community of believers. We are commanded to share the burden of each other. If we say that we are Christian and we do not follow these commandments, aren't we hypocrites? And this is exactly what Jesus meant when he said hypocrites, Pharisees as hypocrites. Because they were saying, but they were not doing what they heard in the law of Moses. But I thank God that we are saved. You see, the difference between, if on that worldview, how was hypocrites, the difference between these two hypocrites is, the hypocrites outside the church, they die with hypocrisy. But the hypocrites, sometimes it's happened that hypocrisy in the church, God, soon or later, revealed that hypocrisy and will heal it. And I would like to be on that side, to reveal the hypocrisy and will be healed by the power of Jesus, than to die with hypocrisy outside the church. This is the mystery of the church that we are commanded to do. Prophet David's words in Psalms 121, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Please come to church with joy. Get involved in the church and do the church whenever you are, inside or outside the church. King Jesus' words in Matthew 6:18, I will build my church and the gates of hates will not overpower it. Jesus is the head and cornerstone of Bethesda Church. And Jesus is given the key to rescue people from apartment buildings surrounding houses around Bethesda Church and share with them the love and forgiveness of Jesus. Not only with people surrounding the church, but also with our families, co-workers, neighbors, and with immigrants as well. Dear brothers and sisters, when you go home today, be the church. Do the church. Get involved in the church. Come back to the church next week with praise and thanksgiving. God bless you.